Hello, everyone. My name is Katie Orlandi, and welcome to the webcast for the Fall 2020 Block Energy and Capacity RFP, or BEC RFP. I'm from NERA Economic Consulting. We're the procurement administrator on behalf of the Illinois Power Agency. And presenting with me today is Chantal Lacasse, also from NERA. So this webcast is going to cover the three procurement events held under the BEC RFP. These include two events to procure block energy for Ameren, Illinois, and Commonwealth Edison, and a third procurement to procure capacity for Ameren, Illinois. And so throughout this presentation, to let you know, we may refer to the utilities as follows: Ameren, Illinois as AIC, and Commonwealth Edison as ComEd. So we'll take questions at the end of the presentation as time permits. To submit questions to the presenters, please locate the Q&A on the right-hand side of your screen, select all panelists in the Ask box, and then type in your question and click Send to submit a question. And please do include a slide number along with your questions. These presentation materials, including the recording and the Q&A from the end, will be posted to our procurement website, which is ipa-energyrfp.com. And so this slide provides a quick disclaimer. Any statements herein are made on the call describing or referring to the RFP and contract documents are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by the governing documents. And these governing documents include the contract documents and the RFP documents that were posted to our website on July 10th. And again, that website is ipa-energyrfp.com. And bidders bear the full responsibility for reviewing and understanding these documents. So on today's call, I'm going to start with an overview of the procurement events, including the products to be procured. I'll then provide some details on the supplier contracts and the RFP process. And in this RFP process overview section, I'm going to cover procedures that are in place to address COVID-19. I'll then pass the presentation to Chantal for the second half, which is going to cover the RFP process requirements, and then a section on bid submission and evaluation. So on September 30th, 2019, the Illinois Power Agency, or IPA, filed its procurement plan with the Illinois Commerce Commission. The plan was approved on December 19th, 2019, and it provides for three procurement events to be held under the Block Energy and Capacity RFP this fall 2020. And again, NERA serves as the procurement administrator for these procurement events. So the RFP seeks to procure block energy for AIC and ComEd, and the products available are specific quantities of on-peak and off-peak energy in monthly periods from October 2020 through May 2023. And a quick note that there are no quantities to be procured for Mid-American Energy Company this fall. The capacity product is procured for AIC only. Specifically, the RFP seeks to procure zonal resource credits, or ZRCs, for the 2021-22 planning year and the 2022-23 planning year in order to fulfill a portion of the forecast requirement for AIC for these 2 years. ZRCs from all zones can be offered, and importantly, ZRCs from outside AIC's compliance zone, which is Local Resource Zone 4, will be subject to a payment adjustment under the contract. And I'll talk about this adjustment further on a later slide. So this slide provides an overview of the energy products. A product represents block energy for a company, either AIC or ComEd. It's for a specific segment, either on-peak or off-peak hours, and it's for a given month. And so the quantity of each product is divided into blocks of 25 megawatts. The targets, or the number of blocks to be procured for each product, are going to be finalized no later than August 25th. So the targets that are provided in the rules that were posted on July 10th and that are in the screenshots throughout this presentation are provisional only. Once the final targets are posted, we will send an email announcement to all of the website registrants. Bidders can also bid on combinations of products for a particular company and on-peak, off-peak segment. So the available combinations are January, February, March, April, July, August, Q4 or October, November, December, as well as an annual product from June to May of the following year. And the number of blocks available in a combination is the minimum number of blocks available in each of the months in that combination. And I'm going to give an example on the next slide here. So this slide provides an example of how the targets for combinations are going to be set. So the top table has the provisional targets for ComEd for the individual monthly products. So in the first line for October 2020, the target's 23 blocks for the on-peak segment and 20 blocks for the off-peak segment. And in the bottom table, we have the target for each combination for ComEd. So specifically for the March-April 2021 combination, there are 22 on-peak blocks available. And that's because the minimum number of blocks available for each of March 2021 and April 2021 in the table above is 22. Now, in regards to the capacity product for AIC, bidders will offer to provide ZRCs. Each ZRC represents 1 megawatt of unforced capacity that qualifies to satisfy the resource adequacy requirement for a given planning year in a local resource zone. ZRCs must be transferred using Module E capacity tracking tool by the delivery deadline specified in the contract, and that'll be prior to MISO's planning resource auction. And there will be a payment adjustment for ZRCs from outside of that compliance zone that are selected and approved through the RFP. So the local resource zone 4, or a successor zone, is the compliance zone. And payment for ZRCs from other zones are adjusted based on the auction clearing price of the source zone of the selected ZRC relative to the auction clearing price for the compliance zone. And we're going to be posting a couple of examples for how to do this calculation to our website as FAQs. So that completes the overview of the products. And before I move to the supplier contract, I'll give a little overview here on the bid evaluation. So importantly, for both energy and capacity, the evaluation considers only bids that meet or beat the benchmarks. And then for the block energy events, the evaluation identifies the least cost package for each company. And for capacity, the evaluation selects the lowest price bids to fill the target for a planning year. The benchmarks that I mentioned are developed using a confidential methodology. They are filed and approved by the ICC. So now to an overview of supplier contracts. As I mentioned, the final contracts were posted on July 10th. There are separate energy contracts for AIC and ComEd, and again, a separate contract for AIC capacity products. Each contract is standard and non-negotiable, and bidders must accept the terms of the supplier contract for the procurement event for which they are applying prior to bidding. So in effect, all bidders in a procurement event are agreeing to the same contract terms and will agreeing ahead of time to execute the contract within 3 days of commission decision on the results if they have bids that have been selected. And notably, the contracts for this fall 2020 are the same as those used in spring 2020. This slide provides the main credit terms for the energy contracts. The exposure calculation is based on mark-to-market methodology, so there may be a collateral requirement that's applicable to the seller this requirement will only apply to seller. So if there is a collateral requirement, the seller must post performance assurance in the form of cash, letter of credit, or guarantee. Within each contract, there are standard forms of the letter of credit and guarantee provided. If a seller has multiple contracts with the buyer, a single guarantee can be used. And there are also acceptable modifications that can be used to the guarantee provided in each contract as well. In regards to the AIC capacity contract, the exposure under the contract will be 10% of the contract value and is required on the effective date. The contract value is based on the bids approved and any payment adjustment for ZRCs that are sourced outside of the compliance zone. So if after any adjustments the seller is required to pay the buyer, then the exposure is simply the amount owed to the buyer. So like the energy contracts, there are forms of letter of credit and guarantee provided as attachments to the confirmation agreement. There are also acceptable modifications to the guarantee that can be used. And again, the collateral requirement applies only to the seller. So that concludes the supplier contract overview. And in this next overview section, I'm going to go through the RFP process. So if you're a new bidder and you've not yet registered for an account to access the online forms to submit your proposal, you should do that as soon as practicable. You can do that either by going to the procurement website, ipa-energyrfp.com, and clicking on the qualification form link on the bottom left-hand side, and then again clicking on request login credentials here. Or you can send us an email to illinois-rfp@nero.com. With this information requested in the box, so your company name, a full name of a contact, phone number, an alternate number, and also an email address. If you're a previously qualified bidder, you're going to automatically receive the login credentials by email from us prior to the opening of the Part 1 window, so you do not need to re-register. So the RFP process kicks off on August 12th. That's when bidders can begin submitting their proposal materials. And the proposal is submitted in two parts, a Part 1 proposal and then a Part 2 proposal, which includes posting the bid assurance collateral. So the Part 1 window is from August 12th through August 20th. The bid participation fee is also due on the Part 1 date. By the Part 1 date on August 20th. The following week, bidders will be notified whether they qualified and whether they can submit a Part 2 proposal on the Part 1 notification date. That's August 25th. And then the following day, August 26th, the Part 2 window will open. Part 2 proposals, including providing the pre-bid letter of credit for the energy procurement events, are due on September 2nd. And the following week, September 9th is the due date for the pre-bid letter of credit for the capacity procurement event. The following Monday, September 14th, energy bids are due, and that Thursday, capacity bids will be due. That's September 17th for the capacity procurement event bid date. So we will be holding a bidder training on September 3rd. And that's going to be your opportunity to, for qualified bidders to practice the bid procedures that will be used on these two bid dates. So on the same week as the bid date for the energy procurement events on September 18th, the ICC will render their decision regarding the results for the energy products. And then the following Wednesday on September 23rd, the ICC will render their decision regarding the results for the capacity products. So I sort of laid out the on the past slide that the process is going to proceed in steps. It's going to proceed over the next 6 weeks. So again, suppliers start by submitting the Part 1 proposal in order to become qualified bidders for one or more procurement events. And then suppliers can submit a Part 2 proposal for any procurement event for which they qualified. Next, the bids will be submitted and evaluated during windows on specific days, and that'll be a week or so after the proposal materials have been provided. 2 business days after each bid date, both the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor will submit a report to the commission, and then the commission renders a decision on the results for each event. Once the decision's been released, the utilities and winning sellers can proceed to executing the contracts, and winning suppliers will be required to pay the supplier fees to the Illinois Power Agency. So this slide provides an estimate at this time of the supplier fees. They are $149 for on-peak blocks, $99 for off-peak blocks, and $20 per ZRC. Again, this fee is paid to the Illinois Power Agency. And the final supplier fees will be announced no later than the Part 2 date of September 2nd. Now, in response to emergency measures due to COVID-19, we will be maintaining the changes that we introduced in the spring 2020 procurement events. These changes are listed here. So first, digital signatures are acceptable. A digital signature is not the same as an electronic signature or a picture of a signature. Instead, it's produced by a software such as DocuSign and provides a way for the signature to be verified. Second, the bid participation fee must be paid by e-pay or ACH. Checks are not acceptable this round. Third, the pre-bid letters of credit must be submitted electronically. And note that the standard pre-bid letters of credit have changed since spring 2020 to facilitate electronic transmission. And lastly, bidders are provided a minimum of 10 minutes to resubmit a bid form if the initial submission is non-conforming to the rules. So this rule was put in place to ensure bidders have time to correct for an error as long as the bid form was received during the bid window. If you have any concerns related to COVID-19 and these procurement events that are not addressed in the presentation, do please send us a comment by email to illinois-rfp@nero.com. And so, as I mentioned, there have been changes to the standard forms of the pre-bid letter of credit to address electronic presentation. So comments are being solicited on these documents this fall. A bidder can provide comments on or propose modifications to the standard forms that are either non-material in nature, that clarify intent, or are advantageous to both the company and the bidder. So if you're providing comments, please submit a red line in Microsoft Word or equivalent format of the standard pre-bid letter of credit. You can send it to us by email at illinois-rfp@nero.com or by upload to the online forms once the Part 1 window opens. You can submit comments to us ahead of the Part 1 window if you begin working with your bank early, which is a good idea. And those comments will be reviewed as soon as practicable, but no later than the Part 1 date. And I just want to note that right now on our website is a list of already acceptable modifications that can be used by any bidder. This list will be updated at the end of this round's Part 1 window to add any newly acceptable modifications. So with that, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Chantal Lacasse to provide more details on the RFP process requirements.
Thank you, Katie. In this section, we'll provide the details on the requirements for the Part 1, Part 2 proposal, and then we'll go on to talk about bids, evaluation, and the post-bid process. As Katie mentioned, there are 2 parts of the proposal, and the Part 1 proposal has several components, including the information that you will provide through the online Part 1 form, supporting documents as required, and those will include inserts, where inserts are standalone Word forms that you will be completing and including with your proposal. And finally, The last component here is the payment of the bid participation fee to the IPA. Of note is that there is an abbreviated process that is available for previously qualified bidders, and that means bidders that successfully completed the Part 1 proposal either last spring or in the last 2 years. And a reminder that the window opens on August 12th, and the last day for submission, the deadline, will be noon on August 20th, 2020. One portion of the Part 1 proposal is to provide contact information for the bidder and for the individuals that will be participating in the process. Previously qualified bidders, by and large, either confirm the information remains accurate or update as needed, with one exception that I'll note in a second. So first is to provide the name and the address of the bidder. Second is to provide contact information for the individual who will be participating in the process, including an officer of the bidder, who is an individual empowered to undertake contracts and bind the bidders. That same individual must sign all the representation in both the Part 1 proposal and the Part 2 proposal. There's also a representative of the bidder that serves as main contact for purposes of interacting with the procurement administrator for this RFP. And finally, optionally, you can designate additional members of your team as nominees. So you can nominate up to 3 nominees, and nominees must be renewed every time you participate. So both new bidders and previously qualified bidders, if they wish to submit the in contact information for nominees, must do so anew. Also required here is to that the supplier has to be a participant in PJM and MISO, specifically an affiliate member or a voting member in PJM or a certified market participant in MISO. Exempt from this requirement are all suppliers that currently hold or have held contracts with one of the companies since 2016. I already mentioned that the officer of the bidder, so that single individual, will be required to sign all of the certification for the Part 1 and the Part 2 proposals. Those are going to be submitted through the submission of inserts, and the inserts that I'll be talking about for this Part 1 proposal are all numbered with P1-, and all of those forms are available on the procurement website. If there is a concern about the availability of the officer of the bidder to sign the certification, for example, for the Part 2 proposal, the officer of the bidder has the option to sign all of the inserts at once, submit all of the inserts with the certification for the Part 1 and Part 2 proposal with the Part 1 proposal for early processing. We've mentioned that digital signatures are acceptable. You can also use the old-fashioned method, namely you can print the insert, sign, scan, and upload the form back into the online Part 1 form, noting that some of the inserts that require a signature also require that the signature be notarized. The alternative is a digital signature using commercially available software that will allow the procurement administrator to verify the identity of the signatory. So that means providing, along with the insert that's digitally signed, an additional document or information that verifies the identity of the signatory. For example, that could be the certificate of completion if you're using DocuSign to provide the digital signature. Electronic signatures, so typing your name or providing an image, are not acceptable. The bid participation fee is due with the Part 1 proposal, and the bid participation fee is of $500. There are two acceptable methods of payment here, ePay online and ACH, Automatic Clearinghouse, in CCD or CCD Plus format. The bid participation fee is due no later than the Part 1 date, the deadline on the Part 1 date of 12 noon on August 20th. So two things of note here is that payment by check is not an acceptable payment this round, given that the IPA is also working remotely. And second thing of note is that for ACH, if that's what you're going to be using for payment of the bid participation fee, you must request instructions from the IPA, as the bank that the IPA is using has recently changed. More details on these instructions are available from the procurement administrator. So for a complete set of instructions, please email us at illinois.rfp@nira.com. The Part 1 proposal also requires that you provide financial information, and that financial information is going to be in regards to the bidder itself. If the bidder is relying on its own financial standing or on the information will relate to another entity, if the bidder is relying on another party's financial standing for purposes of this RFP, so typically a guarantor. Both new bidders and previously qualified bidders provide this information, as well as credit rating for the entity, either the bidder or the entity upon which financial standing the bidder is relying, as well as financial information, that is annual and quarterly financial statements. These documents can be uploaded to the online Part 1 form. So up to now, all the requirements I've been discussing with respect to the Part 1 proposal have to be submitted once, regardless of how many procurement events you intend on participating in. This slide talks about the requirements that are specific to each procurement event. So separately for each of those procurement events, Ameren Illinois Energy Products, Commerce Energy Products, or Ameren Illinois Capacity, you will be providing information to prepare the applicable supplier contract documents. So those also are in the form of inserts and will provide all the information that will be necessary to prepare the contract should you have winning bids that are approved by the commission. Also separately for each of those three procurement events, you will be providing certification. So those are just the inserts that we had talked about previously, saying that the officer of the bidder, this is a single individual who will be making all of the certifications in the Part 1 and Part 2 proposals. So we were referring to those three inserts here, P14-6 and -8. Also, a reminder that you are able optionally to provide comments on the standard form of the pre-bid letters of credit, and those can be provided now, and you can provide them through the Part 1 date. Finally, there are additional requirements that will apply only for bidders in special circumstances, so those in the last two sections of the online Part 1 form. So bidders that are participating under an agency agreement are subject to additional requirements, as well as bidders that participate in the ComEd energy procurement event and that are naming a foreign entity as RFP guarantor. That concludes the overview of the requirements. More details are in the RFP rules containing all of the requirements that I've just discussed. After submission of your Part 1 proposal, you will receive notifications from us, notices regarding the completeness of your proposal or any items that may be missing in the form of a deficiency notice. And should you be successful in completing the Part 1 proposal, you will receive a Part 1 notification. The Part 1 notification not only tells you that you were successful and have qualified for the procurement event for which you applied, but also will be providing you documents that are necessary and important for your continued participation in the RFP. In particular, I'll note here that you'll be receiving the bid forms. So those are the bid forms that you would be using both for training purposes and on the bid date, as well as instructions for filling out the bid forms and for uploading it to a secure bid transfer site. You will also receive credentials for that secure bid transfer site in the form of a username, password, and security codes that identify you to the procurement administrator. You'll also be provided with the details of the training session on the bid submission procedure, which is your opportunity to test that from the location in which you're going to be submitting your bids on bid day, that there are no technical issues in accessing the bid submission, secure bid transfer site, and in uploading the bid forms. And finally, we'll be confirming the amount of the pre-bid letters of credit that would be sufficient to bid on all blocks for each company, including any updated targets from the provisional targets that are currently included in the RFP rules. Those materials will be provided to you through a secure electronic method, and the Part 1 notification is expected no later than August 25th. On to the Part 2 proposal now. So I noted that for the Part 1 proposal, some bidders had access to an abbreviated process if they were previously qualified. For Part 2, there is no such thing, so all bidders are subject to the same requirements. The Part 2 proposal also has a number of components, including the information that you will be submitting through the online Part 2 forms. Certifications made by the officer of the bidder, the same individual that will have provided certification for the Part 1 proposal, submission of an executed pre-bid letter of credit for each procurement event in which you are qualified and intend to bid, and finally, the bids. There are, just as there was for the Part 1 proposal, additional requirements that apply only to specific bidders in special circumstances, if you're applying under an agency agreement, or if you have a foreign entity acting as RFP guarantor and you are participating in the ComEd Energy procurement event. So there's various components, and there are also various deadlines that apply to the Part 2 proposal. So there's a bit of a split here given the two different bid dates for capacity and for energy. The first deadline is September 2nd. So by September 2nd, all qualified bidders need to have provided, to be able to continue in the process, their Part 2 form and the supporting documents for the Part 2 form. Also, for bidders that are participating in energy procurement events, the pre-bid letter of credit is also due on September 2nd. On September 9th, the pre-bid letter of credit for the AIC capacity procurement event is due, so that those two different deadlines correspond to the fact that there are two different bid dates. So the last component of the Part 2, the bids, are due on September 14th for the energy procurement event and on September 17th for the AIC capacity procurement event. We mentioned this already, but a reminder that the pre-bid letters of credit must be submitted electronically for this procurement event to each company. And the email, there's two email addresses for each company, as well as the email address for the procurement administrator. So each pre-bid letter of credit is submitted electronically to the appropriate company for the procurement event using the two email addresses and also to the procurement administrator. The pre-bid letter of credit must be in the standard form, and those standard forms are posted to the procurement website, or the pre-bid letter of credit may incorporate modifications, but only those that are acceptable to the applicable company and that have been posted to the procurement website. The pre-bid letters of credit, the expiry dates are provided in the standard format, and the pre-bid letters of credit must expire no earlier than October 8, 2020 for energy procurement event and October 13, 2020 for the capacity procurement event. So that's to the form of the pre-bid letter of credit, standard format, or only those modifications that are acceptable and have been posted as such. In terms of the amounts, for capacity, the amount of the capacity pre-bid letter of credit must be 200,000. That's regardless of the number of ZRCs that a bidder plans to bid. So it's a flat amount for all bidders. For energy, the pre-bid letter of credit must be in an amount of 5,000 per block of the amount that you intend to bid, with a minimum of $250,000. So on the bid day, one of the evaluation is made by the procurement administrator is whether your pre-bid letter of credit is sufficient to support the number of blocks that you have bid. So at a high level, you will not be allowed to bid on the bid date on more blocks than the amount of the letter of credit that you provided, divided by $5,000, which is the amount per block. Moving on to the submission of bids, the bid form that will be provided to you with the Part 1 notification, or as may be reissued by the procurement administrator as needed, is the exclusive method for the submission of the bids. Any bid that's incompletely or inconsistently filled out is not evaluated. We will provide instructions for you to log in to a secure bid transfer site, and the guide will also provide you with instructions for filling out the bid form. You will have until the end of a submission window to cure any deficiencies that are assessed by the procurement administrator in relation to your bid form, or if the procurement administrator provides notice with less than 10 minutes left in the bid window, then you will have 10 minutes to cure any deficiency. The training session is your opportunity to practice, and in case of difficulty, there is a backup method for submitting the bid form, which is an email submission. I talked about the fact that you have until the end of the window or within 10 minutes to cure any deficiencies that are assessed with respect to your bid form. Of note is that for energy products, there are two distinct and overlapping bid windows that depends on the delivery year. For bids related to the 21-22 or 22-23 delivery year, the deadline is 10 a.m. and the bid window starts at 8:30. For the prompt delivery year of 2021, then the bid window starts at the same time, 8:30, but closes an hour later at 11 a.m., with all times that I'm quoting being central prevailing time. For capacity products, the bid window is between 10 a.m. and noon on September 17th, with the energy product bids being September 14th. As we mentioned, once the bids are received, they are evaluated and reports are provided by the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor to the commission. We expect on the bid day to notify bidders by 6 p.m. on the bid date and to notify bidders of whether they have any bids that are identified as winning bids to the commission. That notification may be made by phone with a written notice to follow. Of note here is that this is an expectation. It may be earlier. It also may be the following day as circumstances warrant. At that point, bidders where the procurement administrator have told them that they have bids that are identified as winning bids can make sure that the information they provided in the contract insert for preparation of the contract documents are accurate, and they will have until noon on the day after they're notified that they have winning bids to provide any corrections or additions. The procurement administrator and procurement monitor submit the confidential information, the confidential report to the commission regarding the results of the procurement event within 2 business days of the bid date, and the commission then renders a decision on whether it accepts the results of the procurement event within 2 business days of receiving the reports from both the procurement administrator and procurement monitor. If a supplier has winning bids that are approved by the commission, then the supplier and the company proceeds the contract execution process. The company will send electronically to the bidders partially executed contract documents. Of note here that there's a difference between the two companies in that ComEd prepares the guarantee on behalf of the bidder, but Ameren Illinois lets the bidder or the guarantor prepare their own guarantee and submit that executed guarantee to Ameren Illinois. So that also accounts for why the contract inserts that gather the information for preparation of the contract documents are different among the companies. Once the bidder receives the partially executed contract document, the bidder can countersign and send back electronically the contract documents. The bidder also must proceed to fulfill any credit worthiness requirements that apply to the bidder. The payment of the supplier fee to the Illinois Power Agency is due within 7 business days of the commission decision. And of note that the pre-bid letter of credit may be drawn if supplier fees are not paid by this deadline. That completes the overview of the RFP requirements. We talked a little bit also about the post-bid process. In the next couple of sections, we'll talk about the bids themselves. First, thinking and looking at the bids for the energy procurement event. So at a high level, a bid is a price in dollars per megawatt hour for a block of a product or a block of a combination. In the example that you have here, there are 3 months that are shown for the on-peak segment, December 2021, January 2022, and February 2022, as well as the possibility of entering bids for a combination of January and February 2022. So subject to the fact that your pre-bid letter of credit has to be sufficient to support the number of blocks that you are bidding in total, a bidder in general, subject to that condition, may bid on any number of products. Bid on all products if the letter of credit is sufficient, may bid on any number of combination, and may bid on all combination as well. So as a bidder may also bid both on a product and on a combination that includes that product, which means, for example, if there are, as shown here, a target of 2 for both January and February, the bidder could bid for all of those blocks, as well as bid on the blocks for the January and February combination. In the bid form, you will see various columns, and here the colors are strictly illustrative, and you will see columns where you can enter bids for products or for single months, and other columns with bids for combination. In the example that's given here, you have July and August as being columns for the product on the left and July-August being the corresponding combination on the right. There are two separate Excel bid forms, one for the 2020-2021 delivery year that has both on-peak and off-peak segments and will have all of the companies for which you qualified in terms of which procurement event you qualified for, and a second bid form for the 2022 and 2022-23 delivery years, again, for both the on-peak and off-peak segments and all the applicable companies. In the bid forms, you will be entering your bids for each block that you want to bid on, so you are able to provide separate bid prices for each of those blocks. You also have the option of providing a maximum willingness to supply for a particular segment, a particular month, and company. The maximum willingness to supply is a maximum number of blocks that a bidder wants to win for that particular segment, month, and company. That's a default maximum willingness to supply will be populated automatically by the bid form, where it will be assumed that the bidder is willing to supply and win up to the target for that segment, month, or company, or the number of blocks bid across all products and combination that include that segment or that month, whichever is smaller. So you have the option, but not the requirement, to specify a maximum willingness to supply for a segment and a month to override this default. And that would mean so that you bid less than the total number of blocks that you bid on the products and the combination that include that segment and that month for that company. There are two steps to the bid evaluation for energy bids. The first step is that bids that fail to meet or beat the benchmark are eliminated. The second step is to select a package that yields the lowest average cost per megawatt hour. And that's true for each company, each segment, and each delivery year. That completes our overview for the energy bids. I'll talk briefly about the bids for the AIC capacity procurement event next. In the bid form, what you will have here is one tab for each planning year. And on that tab for a given planning year, entering a bid means entering a price for ZRCs, entering the quantity of ZRCs to which that price applies, and entering the source zone for the ZRC. So effectively, there are four elements to the bid, the planning year, the price, the quantity, and the source zone. As we mentioned, bidders may bid on ZRCs from any source zone, and a bidder, the only constraint here is on the number of ZRCs that are bid that cannot exceed the target number of ZRCs for that particular planning year. In terms of evaluation, same first step as for the energy bids. The bids that fail to meet or beat the benchmark are eliminated in the first step. And the second step is the selection of the lowest price bids for a given planning year. And those price bids are selected until the target for that planning year is met. That concludes the presentation portion of this webcast.